If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast. With me, Andy Goldstein. I'll be honest with you, because I've sort of come to know and love you very well over the last couple of months. It's not a good podcast. Might as well turn it off now. Just stop listening. Don't even think about going back to it and listen maybe later on. Just delete the thing. And take a day off, listen to tomorrow's. Okay, you done that? You done it? Good. Then you won't hear the final word reaction to Liverpool beating Manchester United with Simon Jordan and Danny Kelly.
He's still going, Salah. Salah shoots, and Salah scores for Liverpool. And he winds the game up, and Liverpool have beaten Manchester United by 2-0. United caught on the counter-attack.
What do you want to say, Jeff?
What I wanted to do was I wanted to publicly eat my word. I can't praise Jordan Henderson enough for his form in the last, certainly this season and probably a bit the season before. I think the improvement that guy's made has been absolutely outstanding. And he's a pivotal part of that team. And I don't think he can be dropped again. He's just been outstanding all season. And I think a few years ago, I was quite critical of him. And I think the reason for that was he deferred too much to Steven Gerrard, in my opinion. But since then, he's now taken that midfield slot, and I think he's made it his own. Outstanding for both Liverpool and for England.
You know, the players are giving absolutely everything. And, of course, when you miss Scott, Paul, Marcus, that's going to... Any club and any team would notice that. So that might mean that we might look at some short-term deals to take us to the summer. It might not. Marcus will... He suffered a stress fracture against Wolverhampton. He'll be out for... I don't know how long he'll be out for. We'll give him enough time to heal, of course. And normally it's 6 weeks before you can get going, like, slightly, probably. And then he'll need time to get match fit again.
As a Manchester United fan in Preston, not impressed, I think, by his team's effort today. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Danny. You all right?
Yeah, really good, Tom. What did you want to say about the game today?
Tim Pot. It was absolutely ridiculous. We're a football club run by a competition winner who's got no tactical now. We go to Anfield to play for a draw. It's pathetic. I was having a drinking game with Matic playing a forward pass, and I'm stone cold sober because I don't think he played one. Andres Pereira, rubbish. Daniel James shouldn't be anywhere near that pitch. Championship at standard. He looks like a year seven when year 11s have robbed his football.
And
it's pathetic.
I didn't understand the selection of Williams at the left-hand side of midfield. He's been doing so good at fullback. You end up with two fullbacks playing on top of each other.
Exactly. And it's a joke of a football club, and it's embarrassing. Liverpool are going to win the league because we're Tim Pot. And something's got to change. We're going to have a manager probably smiling in the tunnel now, laughing and joking, dead happy, saying, oh, we did well, we played good for 5 minutes.
Liam's a Manchester United fan in Blackpool, wants to talk about the game. Hello, Liam.
Hello, Liam. Hiya, guys, OK?
Yeah, really good. What do you want to say, my friend?
Yeah, it was absolutely shocking. It was abysmal to watch. You know, we're Manchester United at the end of the day. Everything that we played forward went straight to Virgil van Dijk, and I'm not taking anything away from him.
No.
You know what I mean? In my opinion, the best defender on the planet. But literally everything we pushed forward just went straight to him, and there was no playing around him. We had corners, and we had Fred was around Virgil. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, well, Maguire should be stood on Virgil because he's got the size about him.
I mean, I've got to be honest with you, Liam. I was watching that. I mean, don't forget, I've not got the volume up. I'm only watching the pictures while I'm listening to Simon and trying to make the show entertaining. I watched those corners where Fred, I know he's only supposed to be blocking him, but Fred against Virgil van Dijk at a corner, call me old-fashioned, it's just dim. It's dim-witted.
Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's literally like David and Goliath, except... David doesn't stand a chance.
He hasn't got a slingshot with him, no. And VAR would give a penalty if he had a slingshot with him.
Well, exactly. And I think even as a United fan to watch it, the fact that that goal got ruled out was, in my opinion, ridiculous. You know, Virgil, he was watching the ball the whole time. His eyes didn't move off the ball. You could see that in all of the replays. He's obviously done it by accident. The keeper's gone in. The keeper knew where Virgil was. And he's gone in for it. It definitely, in my opinion, it shouldn't have been ruled out. It was a goal. The advantage for Man United is that it did get ruled out. But literally every single ball we played forward went to him. And it's just, he's just a world-class defender. He's got the passing capability of someone special. And he just kept on getting it away and giving it to the forward boys. I mean, luckily, Liverpool didn't really have a great day. Otherwise, we could have got absolutely battered by him.
If the scoreline had been 4-0 at the end of that game, I wouldn't have said it was a poor reflection of the match.
No, not at all.
Very difficult.
I come from a background of looking at Man United not with a great deal of admiration or fawning, admiration, because I was the owner of another football club that at times competed with Manchester United. But there's something about this 27-year period over the Premier League, 28 years, that has involved Man United's footprint and, an impression all over it. And you're now looking at a club that's cyclically in decline. And given that this game is now moving so quickly and all the moving pieces that this league makes up are changing, you've got Everton that might come at some point. You've got Wolves that are potentially to come. You've got the increase in Leicester. Despite their winning of the Premier League, they are restabilising again and moving on with Brendan Rodgers. You've got Liverpool and Man City. You know, 30 points between Liverpool and Manchester United at this stage in the season is incredible. And, you know, there was this old thing, I won't use the language Alex Ferguson said about knocking them off their effing perch, yeah. But there was also the idea, and this is what I have written about, which is that Liverpool in the 70s and 80s kind of laughingly said, if that lot round the corner ever get their act together, we may be in trouble. Now, the exact converse is applying because Liverpool have got their act together and Manchester United are now being eroded. Their financial status is being eroded. Their performance on the pitch is being eroded. Their achievements are clearly eroded by definition. The player acquisition policy is flawed. Their manager isn't fit for purpose, in my view. The players they've got there aren't good enough. So how long is a piece of string? But Liverpool were close with Brendan Rodgers. And then they made a decision, which is a game changer, which is the season where Rodgers got them to second in the 13-14 season, when they had Sturridge, Suarez and Sterling at full throttle, was a season they should have won the league. The following season, he disappointed. And then the start of the 15 season, he got the boot. And Klopp's come in and, okay, he's had three finals that he's lost. But now you've got a real winner on your hands. And they do not have the same thing at Manchester United. Now, it may be that they can turn Ole Gunnar Solskjaer into a leader and a winner, but I don't think leaders are educated, and I think they're born. I think it's a natural characteristic to lead, and I don't think Solskjaer is the answer for Man United. And I'm sorry if it keeps on being a circular conversation. To go to your question, who knows, but I think it's going to be a very long ball of string.
Now, moving away from football, who cares about football? It's boring anyway. Let's talk cricket. I love cricket, so do I. Here's how day four of the third test sounded on TalkSport 2's exclusive coverage between South Africa and England.
Bowled in! Carron has gone through, Clinton de Kock. It's the middle stump, flattened.
New ball in hand, ball at the stumps.
England have dismissed South Africa for 209. Joe Root has already made the decision that his men are going to come straight back out.
It's going to continue, he's bowled in! Elgar's walking off, looking at the pitch. I don't know quite what he's looking for there. I'd look where your off stump is, mate. It's lying on the ground behind you. It's Balloondak on the onside. What a catch! Ollie Pope has his man, Van der Dussen. Ollie Pope's just channeled his inner Superman to take that one out of the sky.
Poor batting from South Africa. Terrible batting. Letting a part-timer just bowl and bowl and bowl.
Oh, it's a terrible shot, and it's caught. It's an absolute shocker from Quentin de Kock. It really is. Mark Wood, Tigger, a backward point, bounced up in the air, caught it with two hands above his head.
Well, this is just incredible. It's almost a bit of a brain fade.
Let's stay with cricket, shall we? Rather than talk about Liverpool and whatever they did, yeah, there's no point. Let's make the whole podcast cricket. England fast bowler Mark Wood now, with Mark Butcher and Darren Goff, talking cricket rather than football.
Very pleased to say that we've been joined by Tigger himself, Mark Wood, who's been bouncing around the outfield, springing into his bowling action, springing to take catches as well. Mate, it must be great, first and foremost, to have the whites back on and be back out playing for England again.
Yeah, amazing feeling. Waited a long time even just for, even the last one was a white ball game, but that was in July, so it's been a long time. Didn't get a wicket first innings, and then to see Dean Elgar's stump gun tumbling back was an amazing feeling, one I'd waited a long time for.
Yep, stump went a long way too. You generated some decent pace. How is the body?
Good. I was a bit tired at the end, if I'm honest. Bowling six overs of bouncers took it out of us a little bit, but look, freshen up for tomorrow and get ready for some more bouncers again tomorrow.
I'm guessing that Goffey might have one or two things to say about that, but did you ever think to yourself, perhaps I might be better off aiming at the top of off stump and trying to get my wickets that way?
Yes, but you've got to bowl in partnerships. The captain obviously tried to create some rough for the off spinner, so around the wicket, some short stuff, and just trying to mix it up. Like I say, bowling in partnerships, and if the captain wants me to play that role, then I've got to do what's best for the team.
Yeah, you did. Listen, you did a good job for the team, bowling short and bowling quick, and it's always exciting watching someone bowl 90 miles an hour plus consistently every single ball, because I never did it consistently. I might have done it once every blue moon. But I think what we saw today, where England pitched the ball up, get the ball in the right areas, create pressure, and guess what? The stumps came into play and the stumps went out of the ground, so it was excellent to see. Could you see, was there a bit more in the pitch today than there has been the previous couple of days, you think?
I'm not quite sure. I don't know how to answer that. I think early on, Brody and Sam would made a conscious effort to bowl at the stumps a little bit more. All the wickets in the game, there's been no nick-offs, nothing like that. It's all been catches around the wicket or balls in LBW. So I think with that new ball, they wanted to give it a chance, be at the stumps, and they were fantastic this morning. I mean, Brody was obviously phenomenal. He's a guy that's been so consistent. But I was so pleased for Sam, because that was a big wicket to cock for us as a team. And that really set the tone this morning. We enforced the follow-on, and then there was sort of a good sort of hard graft about the day. It wasn't just we're going to steamroll and we had to work hard for our wickets. And like you say, when we've pitched it up, I mean, later on, I know I bowled short, and that was the plan. But with that new ball, I think we've getting our tactics right where we went at the stumps.
What do you guys make of Joe Root being a wicket away from a fiver? I saw the smiles on everybody's faces out there. Everybody's completely delighted for him. I suspect he'll be reminding all of you that that's how you bowl on pitches like that.
Exactly. I think I think he is under-bowled. He's a guy that does get good players out and he gets wickets. But of course, he is the captain and he has to bowl at the end that's spinning the most. So you put poor Bessie at the other end while he bowled at the end, which is just turning miles. So, but look, delighted for Rooty. His captain, it must be a hard job, so nice for him to get some wickets.
Remember, you can also catch all the action from South Africa by listening to the Andy Goldstein's Following On Cricket podcast, available every day of the tour on Apple Podcasts, Acast and Spotify. Now, earlier on, I joked that you should be turning off the podcast and not bothering it. That was, of course, because after I said all of that, we went straight into chat about Liverpool beating Manchester United. But genuinely now, I honestly mean it, turn the podcast off. Honestly, turn it off. I'm doing you a huge favour here. You don't want to listen to Max, whatever his name is, and Barry Glendening. Barry's fine. I don't mind Barry. Who wants to listen to what's his face? Turn it off now or just fast forward it a bit. Otherwise, you hear this chancer on TalkSport.
Let's play Cobblehouse. John Bunstead.
Mark Dennis.
Tommy Widrington.
Gary Penrose.
Danny Maddox.
Dean Whitehouse.
Chris Marsden.
Chris Marshall.
Mark Draper.
Sorry, I'm going to have to... To
Culverhouse.
Culverhouse.
Yeah. You were saying Chris Marshall, the detective from Death in Paradise, seasons 6 to 8.
Yes.
Ian Culverhouse.
I do apologize. I meant to say Ian Marshall. Where did Chris Marshall come from?
Well, I gave you a look, but I presume maybe it was just somewhere that I, it wasn't in my repertoire. But come on, Barry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I ruined the game. I'm like Steve Cook, that ham ball.
It was instinct, wasn't it?
Chris Marshall.
Can't have Death in Paradise detectives in Culverhouse. Shame on you, Barry. Apologies to everyone.
So sorry, no Ardal O'Hanlon?
No. No Ben Miller?
No Ben Miller.
No Ralph Little?
Okay.
Can't have any of them. If that's ruined your Sunday, I can only apologise.
There you go, Barry Glendening. And bring an idiot to work day, obviously working out for him. Right, on now to game day. It was Newcastle against Chelsea. And, of course, Newcastle won it with virtually the last kick of the game. Oh, how that puts a smile back on my face. Let's hear from the managers. Firstly, Frank Lampard and then Stevie Bruce.
Ritchie makes the burst into the box. Sam Maximin with a deep ball in. And the header is in! Isaac Hayden has won it for Newcastle in the 94th minute, and there is bedlam all around St James's Park.
Everyone in the stadium saw what happened. One team controlled the game for huge parts of it. I think they had a few headers, which I think you can never stop Newcastle doing, and they're big. But other than that, it was all us. Created a lot, had chances, didn't take them, and sucker punch at the end.
It's football, isn't it? That's why we enjoy it. That's why we enjoy it so much in this country. It's why we enjoy the Premier League, because... let's be fair, it's not often the big boys get turned over. And to do it against Chelsea today, and we've done it now against Man U and Tottenham and drew with Man City, you know, has picked up a vital 10 points where we wouldn't expect it. So, you know, it's it was our day, our night, even changing Isaac to a wing-back. You know that when he scores the winner and your assistant manager sends him back from the corner, then you know it's your day. So we'll take it when it comes along.
You're listening to Talk Sport Daily.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Time to head over now to the weekend sports breakfast show with Georgie Bingham and
Big Tony.
Tony Cascarino. And of course, Tony is alluding to the fact that Wolves have what it takes to be a front runner in the Premier League. Although I don't actually know what front runner means. I mean, you would assume from the word front that he thinks they can win the Premier League. But that, of course, is madness. What does front runner mean? No one really knows that. So here's Tony talking about a word that he doesn't really know what it means.
They are the side that look like the team that can break the top four. I think the Europa League has had a massive effect on Wolves. But the players that play up front are super quick. They're all technically gifted and they hurt you. You always look at Wolves and think if they get round you, they'll create chances and they have an aerial threat as well.
Time now to check in with...
when are you going to put me on?
In a minute, Saggers. It's coming.
You're... put me on now.
All right, blimey. Let's go over to the Sunday exclusive with Mark Saggers.
Now!
Wait, so impatient today. Ray Houghton and David Connolly talking about Arsenal drawing 1-1 with Sheffield United, also from game day.
Press play!
Certainly, with no Aubameyang, that was a huge boost for them, as soon as obviously they know he's not playing. And that was an opportunity for them to at least come away with a point. And judging by the second half, he changed it, Chris Wilder, went to a diamond, tried to get back in the game. They certainly did that. And, you know, in the end, they might have nicked another one. I mean, Arsenal were nowhere near their best. They really weren't. And big call taken off Lacazette, 1-0 up. Really big call. I don't think it was the right call. You're up against side in sixth, who were superb away from home, who had you under the cosh, who'd made a formation change and personnel change. I think he had to keep him on. He's his captain. You know, he's the one with his back to goal. He can actually get hold of the ball. Pepe, bit too loose in possession. One of them thinks he's sort of at times in the playground. And I just think he needed a few more proper men out there who really know how to see the game out, and he didn't.
Well, that's been the problem down the years for Arsenal all round. And Arteta there, he's obviously had an opportunity to get him to work a bit harder, but he's not had an opportunity to do much else at this stage of the season.
Well, I've seen him down at Bournemouth, and yeah, he's tried to change it. He's tried to do it,
Manchester City do, is when you're playing out from the back, yeah. your three forwards don't come short. They go right up the pitch, so there's a lot of space for your midfielders to get on the ball. Just not the personnel there, Mark.
So he's going to have to wait. Yeah, but are they going to spend money this summer? I mean, they never spend any money.
Well, I'm one of the reasons he's gone here is obviously he must have been told that he's going to be money made available to him. The other thing, they're a bit like Chelsea. They've got youngsters coming through who in 2-3 years' time might be very, very good. They're potential at the moment. You know, you don't really know which way they're going to go. They could be really brilliant. Mm-hmm. And they might just be, that's where they are at the minute. They're not going to get any better. I don't know. But
do they look like a side that for 2-3 seasons possibly are going to be just mid-table?
Yeah, but then if they don't improve the personnel, then is Aubameyang going to stay? Can you keep Lacazette?
No.
Well, Aubameyang definitely.
Well, then if you can't keep them, then who do you bring in? I mean, the boy, I like Martinelli because I think he's got a great attitude. He'll score your goal. He gets into the right areas to finish off the move. So I don't think there's any real problem from that point of view. Where they are struggling at the minute is you've got Xhaka and Torreira. I've watched them. I like Torreira playing a little bit deeper, but Xhaka gets caught square on too often. Once they get involved in the build-up play and he's not mobile enough and he doesn't shift the ball quickly enough. I mean, I've seen a lot of players like that around the Premier League for a long, long time. If you're going to play out from the back, you need players to get on the half-turn. Like when he was at Manchester City, he's got Fernandinho gets on the after, and he's got De Bruyne who does that, and he's got David Silva who does it. So that's the different personnel he's working with. Mm-hmm. If you've got players coming off square, Guendouzi does it all the time, Xhaka does it, they can't see the forward pass. Mm-hmm. So you're limiting your scope of where you're going to go. In the game against Leeds, Holding got the ball. He doesn't play the midfielder because he's a little bit hesitant. And all you got to do is play a straight ball and then it's a ball out. It's simple, honestly. You would expect a 12-year-old at a decent team to be able to do it at that level. And sometimes that's a confidence thing where you're not confidently playing into someone to lay it off. It's really basic. Now, I don't know about you, but this weekend's Premier League was rubbish, really. The best football was, of course, from Europe, which is why the Trans-Europe Express, with me, Andy Goldstein, was so darn good. And the word darn's not used anywhere near as much as it should be. So, here we go. Let's check in with the best bits of Andy Goldstein's Trans-Europe Express, with me, Andy Goldstein, and two other people. I can't remember their names.
Known he was going to go for a long time now, for many months, yet they've not got all their ducks in a row. That's what I find really difficult. And what Valverde did very, very well, for all the issues that people may have with him, while he was doing so well domestically, which he did for most of his time in charge, it shielded the board, the very under pressure board, when he arrived, from accusations of incompetence. Bear in mind that he took over when they'd just lost Neymar, and when the sense was that there was a growing rebellion in the fan base that these guys do not know how to manage our club under Bartomeu, the president. Now the board are exposed again, and they've exposed themselves, really, because they've known, really, since going back to Liverpool, that they're... So this is what? I don't know, nearly a year, like 8 months, 9 months. They've known that they're going to have to make a change at some point. So why didn't they think about what they were going to do? I mean, they made an approach to Xavi, again, which is a real flyer. Ideologically, we talked about it last week, maybe it works, but in terms of his experience, it's just a total flyer. Then they talked to Ronald Koeman, and he turned it down. They talked to Mauricio Pochettino, and he wanted some time to think about it. Now, I think that much encouragement must make you think, do we hold out for him? And I think he probably is a coach worth holding out for. But you know what? They just said, we've got to do it. We've got to do it now. Because they'd already sacked Valverde, because they'd dealt with it really badly. I don't know why. If they thought Pochettino was a genuine idea, why didn't they have a word with him through an intermediary a month, 6 weeks ago, and then get further down the road to binning Valverde? But instead, they're in this situation where Setien, even though... As Mark was saying, ideologically, he's an interesting enough fit for Barcelona. He's clearly not first choice. He's clearly not even second choice.
Now, those familiar with the segment known as Sporting Heretics, both of you in the Glory Hunters podcast will know guests are invited to express an idea or opinion designed to shock the sporting establishment. This week, comedian Ivo Graham wants to ban international tournaments. So sit back, relax, both of you, and have a listen to this.
What are the two biggest problems in the world at the moment? The rise of nationalism and the climate crisis. Let's get rid of, well, let's not sort both of them out just like this, but I think one significant step would not be having the travelling circus. That is an international sports tournament. For example, a major international football tournament every 2 years. We're seeing in Australia, it is ludicrous that the Australian Open is going ahead, what with what's going on in Australia. And every couple of years, particularly when a country has to completely sort of go on some large-scale building project, like in Brazil, if they build sort of five new stadiums just for the World Cup, it is an engineering nightmare. It is speeding up the death of this planet as we know it, and the tournaments often aren't any good anyway. Let's be honest. Let's focus on our domestic teams, and let's focus on international club tournaments. Maybe you can still have the Champions League, I would say, which is always more exciting than the World Cup. The World Cup is an absolute bore-off. England, in my lifetime, there have been two fun international tournaments. There's been Euro 96 and there's been the World Cup 18 months ago. And apart from that, I couldn't care less about what's happening in any of them. We wouldn't miss it at all. You'd get a proper summer holiday. Comics would be able to get some audiences of their Edinburgh previews in July. And we wouldn't have millions of the world's worst people, international football fans, schlepping it around the globe, stinking up the tourist industries of countries they've never researched so that they can support their teams in a pointless, largely pointless tournament, Charlie. I don't want it.
That's Glory Hunters with Charlie Baker. Back Sunday morning.
I don't care.
Well, just let me read this bit out. Back Sunday morning from 9:30. And don't forget to download the podcast from your regular podcast provider.
Can't be bothered. Yours is much better.
Okay. Well, that's your opinion. Anyway, you've been listening to the Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, Andy Goldstein. A reminder to click and subscribe via Acast, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And as if that reminder wasn't enough, I've got two more for you. The first one being tonight at 8 p.m, West Brom are playing Stoke in the Championship. Oh, I mean, it's live on TalkSport, so if you can be bothered to tune into that. If not, make sure you tune in to proper football stuff. That's my show, the Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday. Of course, today's Monday, from 10 p.m, where I'll be looking back at most of the big games from the weekend. I'll probably leave one or two off. But that's it for me. Thanks so much for listening. Although I did warn you at the beginning not to. So basically, you've gone against my wishes, so we are not friends. I'll unfollow you now on podcast world, if that was such a thing. Have a great day. Remember, join me at 10 p.m. for tonight. More of the same. Not the same. I won't be doing another podcast. But, well, I will. But anyway, have a great day. Thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.